Welcome to Transitions with Ruth Ann Rehm McCaffrey. Hello, I'm Sandhya, and I'm here with Ruth Ann. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Sandhya. Great, thanks.
Good. We're here for the October podcast, and so we're here for the fall season and people getting ready for Halloween and dressing up for Halloween parties and maybe putting on masks as part of their costume. And we're going to be talking about masks today, but in a different kind of way, about personality masks.
Right.
So what do you mean when you talk about a mask? What does that mean, or what does that look like?
Yeah, a mask is a way that all of us put on certain behaviors, whether it's being really quiet at times, or a class clown, or really aggressive, or just some behavior that isn't naturally part of our easy personality, if you will. And we do that. We learn to do this usually when we're young as a way to adapt in our families, or in some cases to even survive.
And then we were talking before that we both had the mask of being quiet.
Right.
And
right.
Really
being the good girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it worked in a number of ways. I think it sounds like for both of us to be quiet was good in school.
Right.
And
yeah.
That
yeah.
was helpful.
Teacher's pet.
Definitely.
Teachers loved us.
Yeah. That's right. They did.
Other kids didn't always, but
exactly. Exactly. So sometimes it sounds like for a mask, it works for us. Like maybe at school, we're one way, at home, we're another way. And so I guess how, when we learn at a young age that we have these masks, how do we use that to benefit us when we're growing up?
I think actually we learn to behave in certain ways when we're young. And what I'm wanting to share with my listeners, and what I'm hoping that they will take away from our session today, is that having a mask and knowing it's there and using it when you want to keep some distance in the grocery store, perhaps when you don't want everybody going up and down the aisle to start up a conversation with you, or the gas station. Now, that's one thing if you do it consciously. But lots of people have a way of behaving that isn't really true to themselves, and they're not aware of that. They don't know that they can take off the mask of being nice if they need to be strong and use their voice, or that, and that's another one with those of us who learn to be quiet, is that we, particularly women, is that we have a voice and often need to be willing to step out and say what's important and what we want.
That's a good point,
especially to hear.
That was another mask. It was, for me, was being nice,
right?
And so being quiet was part of that, and then being nice so that you don't offend someone, so
that's
that
right.
You don't say something that hurts someone's feelings.
Right. I remember when I was a little girl, what I was told is little girls are supposed to be seen and not heard. Mm-hmm. And so I did a really good job of learning to listen, and I love to listen. I'm always really curious about people's stories. And in fact, that's one of the things that I find the most interesting in the work that I do. But I want people to be able to be free to use their voice when it's appropriate, and not have to be bound by a certain adaptive mask or behavior that may not be serving them very well in what's happening in their life today.
Okay. And so it sounds like what you're saying is we have all kinds of masks, and it's not denying that we have a mask necessarily. It's knowing how to work with the masks that we have and acknowledge that it's there.
Right.
And knowing when to maybe take that mask off, or maybe not get rid of it, but how to work with it.
Right. And one of the things, I'd like you to try something, those of you who are listening, I'd like you to take a pen and write your signature on a piece of paper as though you were writing a check. And then I'd like you to take the pen and write it, the same signature, with your other hand right below the first signature. And when you're done, ask if the second signature felt different when you were writing it. And I almost can guarantee, unless you had a broken arm and had to write with your other hand, you know, for quite a while, that the experience will be different for you and that it will take energy to write with your second hand or with your non-dominant hand. And so what I mean by using your mask and taking your mask off is knowing the what it takes in terms of energy and effort and so on when you are being who you are naturally not. You were born and you've learned over, you know, in discovering who you are, what is the most predominant, what are the most predominant characteristics for your personality? And so we want you to be able to use those in ways that are appropriate and comfortable for you. At the same time, to know that when you have to put on a mask of being quiet or being a listener or being tough or being serious or being a clown or whatever, when that's going to serve you well, that you do it with your eyes open and you don't get surprised by that.
Okay. Because we all have those different masks that we've learned to either live with, or maybe some that we've learned to strengthen. It sounds like that's what you're saying too, that we all have strengths. We all have a general tendency with our personalities to have certain masks, and it's learning to work with those, and also understanding the price of when you're talking about serving you, serving you well or not serving you well, understanding what that price is of using the mask.
There's an interesting book that I'm reading now called The Dark Side of the Light Chasers by Roth, and she talks about getting acquainted with those parts of her personality that we don't particularly like. And so what would be the opposite of the nice person would be the nasty one, or the person who's honest all the time, the one who's not criminal necessarily, but wanting to have their own way when they want it. And that's different from a mask. A mask is a way of behaving when just to be effective in certain situations. The dark side of our, the shadow side of our personality is a part of, I mean, we all have all the parts of our personality present. I mean, we all are nice as well as not nice. And to claim those parts in a way that takes their power away to surprise us or to make us judgmental of those situations where it's not, I mean, where we could be judgmental of criminals or people that are pushy or whatever. And if we can own the fact that we all have all of those parts of our within our personality, but we're living in such a way that we're choosing the parts that we're going to feed. And that goes to that, to the Cherokee quote. And I'd like you to repeat that because I love that quote.
I know, I do too. It's talking about that we all have two wolves. We have one wolf that is full of rage and anger and fear and jealousy. And we have another wolf that is full of love and compassion and peace and gratitude. And which wolf wins? It's the wolf that we feed. And for me, that gives a real visual. I think I'm a very visual learner. That was a very visual aspect. And I thought, just learning that concept of us having all aspects in our personality was a really hard thing for me. It was hard for me to acknowledge those darker sides. That was, it was easier for me to deny that and say, no, that's not me, than to acknowledge it. So I don't know if that's something that you've seen, is that a typical thing with people with masks? Sometimes it's hard to say, yes, that is a part of me.
Yeah, a mask is more adaptive. It's an adaptive behavior. It's something that people learn in order to manage situations or life and be safe in that situation, or to keep things under control, to keep the crazy people from accosting you when you're just trying to have a nice picnic at the park, for example. So what I mean, what I'm really wanting about the conversation here with the masks is to give people permission to be aware of what they do that serves them and to what degree that is a natural part of their personality or to what degree is it a behavior that they put on from time to time in order to manage a situation. Mm-hmm. There's nothing bad in any of this.
That's
right. Just a level of awareness so that you're not caught by surprise.
And it sounds like it's an extension of your, that mask can be an extension of your personality.
Absolutely.
But it's truly just a, that can be more situational than your true being.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So it's exciting to think about. I mean, if we think about it during the Halloween and bring that back, bringing the conversation back to that, people put Halloween masks on for their convention and for, you know, fun and for memories and for all kinds of reasons. And so personality masks can go on for lots of reasons too. Mm-hmm. But again, we don't want them to be there and not be aware of what, you know, of what the, of the fact that they're there.
So how can someone decide whether the mask is serving them well or not? Like, what are some things that they can be either become aware of so they know whether it's serving them well or maybe that's something that's not such a positive thing?
Yeah, I think one of the ways to look is to look at how you're feeling. And if you're feeling relaxed and confident and, you know, and positive about what you're doing and what's happening, then probably your expressions and your way of employing your personality are working just fine for you. But if you're feeling tense and worried and afraid and maybe your body is tense or you're waking up with bad dreams or you're struggling for some reason, then you might want to go back and go, well, has it been serving me well to not voice my opinion here? Or has it been serving my, you know, my situation with my family well to come across so stern when I'm not stern? Or so to look at what's happening in the aftermath of being a certain way that I can say is either something I like or I don't like. And if you don't like the tension and you don't like the frustration, then it might be time to explore, well, okay, maybe I need to be brave and do something different. Maybe I need to take the mask off of being the, you know, the quiet, shy person and say what's on my mind, or be brave and take a stand, or be smart and keep my mouth shut, or and, you know, not feed into the neighborhood gossip, for example. So we always have this feedback mechanism within us. How am I doing? How am I feeling? If I'm feeling good, then probably I'm, you know, I'm moving ahead with my decisions and my life in a way that's probably okay for me and for my world. On the other hand, if there's a strain about it and it's creating either, you know, sensations in my body or tension or, you know, worries that I can't leave behind, then I need to maybe step back and look at maybe that mask I've been wearing is not such a such a good one after all. I might need to take that off and do something different.
And I think for me, sometimes that mask, it's hard that the self-analysis can be difficult. So sometimes it's that maybe the sensation, the uneasiness, then I may project it onto something else rather than really looking at myself. So, you know, getting angry at the dog kind of kind of situation versus really looking at what's really causing the feelings and the emotions.
That's a good point. Yeah, we look at our behaviors as well as our thoughts and feelings, don't we? if we're kicking the dog or, you know, driving too fast or gossiping about the neighbor when that's not us, then I think that that's a signal as well. to pay attention to.
And so how do you go through that process of really assessing things? You get that sensation, maybe the mm-hmm. uneasy sensation. And do you have some steps to step through that process of looking at what it was that created that sensation?
Yeah, I think the first step is to know that it may take more than one time for you to feel like you're really getting at the answer that you're looking for. But if you're not feeling happy with something, then you ask, well, what is going on? What just happened to me, and what just happened in my world, so that I ended up not feeling so good right now? You know, was it something that happened at work? It probably wasn't the poor dog when you got home, although maybe the dog had, I don't know, chewed up the couch or something. But it may very well have been something that happened in a place where it didn't feel like you could accurately say to your boss or manager, give some feedback, because it might not have been the thing that would have been well received. But you can begin to ask, all right, what just happened? And then what are my choices here? I could do this or this or this, and then to look at those different choices and say, if I do this one, what's the risk? And then analyze, spend just a little bit of time thinking about it and saying, given what I've explored here, what could I do differently next time so that I can be myself in situations and don't come away from that situation having to be uncomfortable or have my dog get in trouble when it's nothing to do with the dog.
And I really am not getting the dog.
No, right. I know. You're an animal lover for sure.
But. Well, and you can recover. I think I've learned too over time that, because sometimes you may have a response that, or a mask that happens, that maybe it wasn't quite what you were thinking was going to be, or the situation wasn't going to be quite the way it was. And I've learned that you can go back after you've done that analysis mm-hmm. and said, I reacted in a way that I really didn't want to react, or I said something yeah. I really didn't feel, or there were some things that I didn't say that I probably should have said.
Well, and you bring up a really good point, and that is the gift of time. Mm-hmm. And distance from something lets you think about it without all of the emotion so raw. Mm-hmm. And so as you have a little chance to think about it in a more personally powerful way, then you can, if you want to, you don't have to, but you can go back and straighten it out to the degree that that's possible. So it's trying on, using your feedback mechanism, your feelings and your thoughts and behaviors to give you to the accurate feedback about what's going on. It's like flying. We just keep, steering or driving. We just keep steering the best we can using the information along the way and keep moving, back and forth to stay on track, knowing that lots of the time we're just slightly off and we have to make an adjustment going on. So understanding yourself in the most clear way, giving yourself permission to be you in the most honest way and loving way to you will help you stay on track.
Oh, that is so wonderful. I feel at peace.
Good. Yay. Thanks. They've been good to be with you today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us. This is Santia. For more information about Ruth Ann, please go to her website at careermi.com. This program is produced and engineered by Rob Rigoni at Brown Pelican Productions. For more information about Rob, go to robrigoni.com.